preparing ourselves for ministry, preparing to move forward as a church and as Christians. It can be easy to think, where do we even begin on such a daunting task? Because indeed, as a church and as Christians, we move on to the future. While we are informed by the past and molded by the past, we don't look back to the past, but we move on. And seniors moving on from here, you indeed too move on. You prepare yourselves for the future. And so when we ask ourselves and we consider being prepared for ministry, being prepared for the Christian walk, where do we even begin? We want to thrive as Christians. We want to thrive as ministers of the gospel. As a born-again Christian, that's a very natural tendency, very natural desire. And indeed, human beings want to thrive. You look in the world and people have all kinds of ideas about how to thrive, what brings about thriving in one's life. What I mean by thriving is what brings about life in someone's life. But where do we even begin? Because it can be quite easy to begin with our own ideas, our own works, our own strategies that we believe that will help us thrive, whatever idea that might be. It's really easy to start there, right? As human beings, we can sense a void. We can sense that there needs to be something to be filled. There needs to be something that needs to be done. And so we look to ourselves, and I do this all the time. When I sense there's a problem of some kind or something that needs to be done, it's really easy for me to look to myself and really think really hard and think, what kind of ideas would work here? What kind of works, what kind of strategies would work here? And indeed, if we are going to prepare for the Christian walk, as we are going to get prepared for ministry as a church and in individual lives, we need to have a correct lens for which to see through. We need to have a correct lens through which to see through. Because in our flesh, the lens through which we see is corrupted. And so, through our flesh, we tackle things in our own ways that might not be the Lord. We try to bring about thriving in life, which might not be from the Lord, but from ourselves. But you know, the cool thing is, when we gather as a church, we are able to see ourselves and each other rightly. How do we see each other rightly and ourselves rightly? It's through the lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so out of an identity in Christ, we thrive as Christians. We thrive as a church and ministry. Christians thrive in their own walk with Jesus. And indeed, as human beings, we thrive through an identity with Christ. And so as we prepare for ministry, Grandview Covenant Church, as we prepare for ministry, individual Christians, as we look forward to our lives ahead, we consider two things today. Through the lens of the gospel, we do not see ourselves or others too highly, but we do not see ourselves or others too lowly either. See, it's a both and. Through the lens of the gospel, we do not see ourselves as too highly, or we do not see ourselves as too lowly either. So, we do not view ourselves or others too highly. If you're following along with me in the text this morning, I'm in chapter 2, verse 1, and I'm going to start here. It says here in verse 1, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins." And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. That's verse 1. See, before faith in Christ, our souls are dead and unresponsive to Christ. And when Paul says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins," I don't think that's metaphorical. It's literal. And it can be confusing for people because they say, well, so-and-so is walking, they're physically alive, they have that spark of life in their body, how could they be dead? Well, as Christians, we believe that we're not only a body, that we have a soul, which is an immaterial part of us. It's an immaterial consciousness given by the Lord. and we can't see it. We can't go in a science lab and prove it. That doesn't mean it's not real. There's a part of us that's immaterial, that is spiritual. And that is the part of us that is dead and unresponsive if we are apart from Christ. There is no spark apart from Christ. There is no life apart from Christ. The first time I attended a funeral, I think I was in third grade. So that's pretty young to attend a first funeral. And what I was told was, I went to the viewing at the funeral home, and I was told, well, the person will be looking like they'll be sleeping. And I just could not register that as a third grader. I remember thinking, I was like, well, I see mom and dad sleeping, and I can see their chests going up and down and everything. And I just, death did not compute in my mind as a third grader. Did not compute. So I remember going to the funeral home and seeing the person in the casket. And I was just mind blown. I was almost expecting the eyelids to flutter at my response, you know. I was almost expecting the chest to rise up and down. And it was mind-blowing that there was no spark of life. Because, you know, as a little kid, I expected there to be life, right? That's what we expect. That's what it's supposed to be. Death is not supposed to be a thing at all. It's not natural. So I was expecting there to be life. But as I saw that day as a third grader, there was no response. And I know that's kind of a graphic illustration. That's to get to the point across that our souls are like that apart from Christ. And I know this illustration might be ghastly, it might be uncomfortable, but our souls are like that apart from Christ. The message of the gospel comes to a person, and if their soul is dead, it's unresponsive. It cannot respond. There's no heartbeat there. There is no breath of life. There's no spark of life. When the very message that is spoken to someone that is supposed to bring life, because the gospel is the ultimate truth, it's the ultimate way to life, it's the ultimate way to salvation, but when people are dead in their trespasses and sins, they can't even hear it. It doesn't compute. They don't respond to it. Just like talking to a person that is physically dead. And here's why we can't think of ourselves too highly, brothers and sisters. Verse 3, we were all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So believe it or not, I believe when he says we all, I believe he says we all. If you are alive today in Christ, you were once dead in the trespasses and sins. You were once unresponsive to the call of Christ. We are all born into sin. We are all born into darkness. And being unresponsive to Christ, being unresponsive to him, not being able to hear his call, we naturally follow the prince of the power of the air. What he means there is Satan. The power of the air refers to the invisible world, if you will. And that's pretty humbling. I was raised a minister's kid. I was born, raised in the church, was always there on a Sunday morning. But it didn't matter because there was a time where I was dead and unresponsive to the gospel. And I remember when all of a sudden I believed truly in Jesus Christ and the scales fell off. I saw him as he was. And the music I was not able to hear earlier through the preaching of the word and singing of songs and hymns and being with other Christians and hearing the Bible stories, all of a sudden I was like, I hear the music now. I can respond. It's like my soul was unable to be responsive to Jesus, and now I am, not because of me, but because of him who worked through me, through belief and trust in Jesus Christ. So deadness and sin is all-encompassing. No one is exempt. And everyone at one time was dead in their sins, regardless of background, regardless of whether they were raised in the church, regardless of their morality, regardless of works. There was a point where each and every one of us was dead and unresponsive to Christ. And this is catastrophic news. This is catastrophic news. Because if we are not following Christ, we are following the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. He's the voice that we hear. He's the voice that we respond to. That's horrific news. Because he leads to destruction. He is crafty. He is wise. He is deceptive. But the end road is destruction, eternal hell separated from God. So what then? You who are made alive by grace through faith, what then? Verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So when Paul talks about through faith, he not only talks about belief, but he also talks about trust. Like, we can believe in God. We can, like, just like Satan does, he believes that God exists. But there's a trust involved in it, too. Kent Hughes, in his commentary, brought up a wonderful illustration of this. There's a man who was famous of walking the tightrope beyond the Niagara Falls, and he would carry people on his back. And he would do that, and people believed that he could. So people believed. But when it came their turn, when he said, I'll take you across now, they said, no. Why? Because they don't trust. See, faith is not only belief, but it's trust. It's trusting. It's the biggest trust fall of your life. Because even though that we're dead and unresponsive, we're in the coffin, as it were, spiritually. That's what we looked like apart from Christ. It takes tremendous trust for us to believe it's like, this is a hopeless situation. I'm bound for destruction. I'm bound for eternity in hell. But I'm going to trust you because I cannot save myself. And we just lean back and we trust him with the most impossible thing ever. Because I assure you, brothers and sisters, there's no bigger miracle than a dead soul, an unresponsive soul in Christ, to become alive to him. There's no greater miracle than that. And it takes trust. And so Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and truly saved. This is not some cliche. You are truly saved. Your salvation is very real. More real than getting taken out of a burning building. It's very real. And he says, this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Our salvation is not a result of works. But Paul said it's by grace, through faith. We place our faith, which means we place our belief and our trust in Jesus Christ, that he is who he says he is, that he was truly crucified on our behalf, and that he was raised for our justification, our sanctification, our being made new, that he actually took on our sin and the punishment that was due us. We place our faith in that. We place our trust in that. And then we are made alive. And so Paul says it's not a result of works whatsoever. No one may boast. And so what then, Christian? Do not think of yourself too highly. It is simply by grace that you've been saved. I was speaking to myself, Tim, don't think of yourself as too highly. It's by grace that you've been saved. So as we prepare for ministry, we ought not think too highly of ourselves. We ought not think too highly of our abilities. We ought not think too highly of our strategies. We place our trust and our faith in him who is able to work through us and prepare us for ministry. So we do not think of ourselves or others too highly in the body of Christ. So when we view ourselves and others here in this room, we do not think as anyone except Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so this text starts off pretty dark. He's saying, and you were once dead in the trespasses and sins. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Starts off pretty dark. But, point number 2, we also do not view ourselves or others too lowly. So if we're made alive in Christ, we do not think too low of ourselves. And in the body of Christ here, we do not think of anyone in the room too low either. Well, why is this? See, it's a very common experience in Christianity, in the Christian walk, to have a low view of yourself. Incredibly low. To the point to where every time you feel like you mess up, or indeed every time that you do mess up or sin, that can lead a person to feeling terrible about themselves, feeling like I'm worthless, I'm trash, I'm no good. And this has led to many things. This can lead to people literally punishing themselves. They say, well, maybe if I just get up at 3 a.m. and do this devotional after I sin, maybe then I'll be made right. And it can get as extreme as scourging, so history literally beating yourself. Because you do not see yourself as worthy. It can be easy to have a low view of self as a Christian. You know, I'm going to be really honest here, but it can be really easy for churches to have a low view of themselves too. Right? It can be easy to play the comparison game, or it can be easy to look at the things that we do wrong and everyone will. And it can be easy to have too low of a view of either yourself as a Christian or the church. But here's the cool thing. If you are in Christ, if you have placed your faith in Christ, if you've allowed God's grace means unmerited favor towards people who are not deserving, if you've let grace work through faith and you are saved, made alive in Christ, you have indeed been made alive again. So that spirit, that soul that was lying in the casket, if you will, and that looked hopeless, it looked dead, there was no spark of life or anything, all of a sudden, because of Christ, you've been made alive, your spirit has. So now you hear him, you hear his voice, you hear him, you can say Abba Father to him because you are made alive, you can call out to him, the perfect God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that gives us a great deal of confidence. And this is trusting only in him. Because we can't make ourselves alive, right? We can't. Doing dead works is simply thinking I can put on enough makeup on this corpse of a soul and make it look alive. And it kind of looks ridiculous when that happens. True life is only found in Christ. True life is when you give up dead works and you recognize that I am indeed dead. My soul is dead. It needs life. It needs Jesus. In verse 4, by God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, Paul says, because of the great love with which he loved us, it seems kind of redundant, but he wants to make this point strong here. He says, there is a love that you can be loved with that surpasses anything else. It can make you alive. It can make you responsive. And it can make you alive to the point to where your position's raised with him. See, not only have we been made alive. See, I was thinking this week, wouldn't it have been enough for Christ to just make us alive and we could go with him to be with him for eternity? Wouldn't that be enough? And this shocked me this week because he does something else. Verse 6. Not only were we made alive, not only by grace are we saved, but, verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Get this, Christian, get this, brother and sister, get this, church. If you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not only have you been made alive spiritually, but your position has been raised with him in the heavenly places. So we believe that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning in the right hand of God right now, the Father, and Jesus is also God? Three in one? We're raised in that position, so we're not literally raised with him, but our position is raised with him. So what does that mean? He sees us with a good eye. You know, how does God see you right now as one who has placed their faith and trust in him? I can assure you, he does not see you as a piece of trash. He does not see you as worthless. He does not see this church as worthless either. Because not because of our merit and our goodness, but because of his, we are given Christ's righteousness, and we are raised with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And so we experience significant blessings because of this. Our position has been raised through the roof, guys, in Christ. And it's not because of us. I can't do enough to raise my position, but Christ has raised it beyond imagination. So, when God looks at us, he sees a creation that has been made new. He indeed, when he looks at the church, he sees a group of people who have been made new. They've been made new creations. Brothers and sisters, let's have confidence in this, in our new creation. No need to look down upon it. No need to improve upon it. Because the way I think is like, I need to improve on it. I need to get out the hammer and the nails and do the work myself. But let's have confidence in what we already have, because I cannot build on to it. I can't. It's only him through works in me. And indeed, we can have great confidence in our salvation because we've been shown kindness in Christ Jesus. We've been made alive. Our souls are no longer dead, no longer lack that spark of life. And I truly believe that if you've been made alive this morning in Christ by grace through faith, you are planted in the good soil and you will produce fruit. Some of you might remember the parable of the four soils, and that can be kind of a confusing parable because some of them, you see, well, they start off, they had joy, they believed for a time, but then they were choked and that they died, and others were on the rocky path and they could not set the roots down, and then others were on the paths and they were swept away. See, truly being made alive in Christ, I believe, is truly being planted in that good soil. That if you genuinely have placed your faith in Christ, and you don't even have to work to place your faith in Christ, it's not how sincere was I when I prayed to God to place my faith in him or whatnot, it's simply placing whatever faith you have in him. And you're planted in that good soil through Jesus Christ, and you will not die again if you're in that good soil. And the ones in the other soil who believe for a time may look like the real thing, but are not. There's one category in that parable that is the real thing, the ones in the good soil. And so, brothers and sisters, if you have that spark of life, if you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the message that God came to earth and that he lived a life we couldn't live, and because of our sin, he had to take it on because he was the sufficient sacrifice, and he died a death we couldn't die, and then he was raised for our newness if we believe in him and trust in him. If you're truly in that category, you can have confidence, truly. You are not going to die. You're not going to wilt in the good soil, and you cannot lose that. If you've been made alive, you cannot lose that. And church, as we gather as together and we've been made alive, we have something here that we cannot lose. Let's place confidence in this. So, verse 10, preparing for ministry, we don't view too highly of ourselves. We do not look at ourselves too lowly either. Our salvation is by grace through faith. We've covered that. And Paul finishes out by saying, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you know the cool thing is, if you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ and you're made alive, your soul is responsive to the gospel, you hear things this morning and you experience that spark of life, you sing songs and through the Spirit you feel that spark of life, through reading this text this morning you experience life, the spark throughout your week, if you're experiencing that, you are a workmanship prepared for good works. And I'm not sure I necessarily read this text as Christ predestining our works, rather preparing us for good works. See, if you've been made alive, he's prepared you for the work of ministry. That is the recommendation. That is the standard. Many times churches can make up their own standards when they prepare for ministry. They say, well, we got to do this, this, and that to be prepared for ministry. I have presented the means by which we are prepared for the ministry. That if we are made alive in Christ and we are no longer dead in our sins and our trespasses and our souls have been made alive and they are responsive to him, we are prepared for ministry. We are prepared for good works. And I believe that for this church, that we are prepared for a great thing, that we are a workmanship prepared in Christ Jesus for good works, for good ministry in this community and beyond. I have faith in that. Not because of what I can bring ultimately, but not because of what you bring ultimately, but because of the realities in this text, I truly believe that there's a remnant here that has been made alive in Jesus Christ. And it's through this, it's from this foundation that we move forward in the future as a church, as Christians. Not thinking too highly of ourselves, but also not too low either. So, as we gather together, I encourage you to see yourself and others through the lens of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because it's only out of this identity that you, me, and we as a church will thrive. And it's out of this identity, being rooted in the good soil, that we produce fruit. If you're listening to me today, this seems confusing, if you have no idea what it means to be dead spiritually, dead in your soul, I invite you to look to Jesus. Because if I'm being really honest, if you hear the good news of Jesus Christ and you're not responsive to it, that's kind of bad news. And it's not that I'm always responsive to it. I don't wake up on a Monday morning naturally getting it. It's only through the Spirit. But if none of this makes sense to you, there might be deadness if you were listening or here. So I invite you to Jesus Christ. As Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Not your own doing, is the gift of God. So it's placing your trust in something else. And it's only placing your trust in Jesus Christ. Because that void you feel inside of you, that deadness you feel inside of you just might be real if you're being honest with you. It might sound kind of far-fetched that we do have an immaterial part, but I truly believe that we do. And he's the only one that can bring life to that situation because we had a God that came down and did what we could not do, and he lived the life we couldn't do and paid the sacrifices we could never pay. If we're Christians in the room, I want to exhort you just for a second here. Have confidence in your new life in Jesus. Have confidence in this. Have confidence that he actually has prepared you as a workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That he's indeed prepared you for ministry. Doesn't matter how much theology you know in your head, doesn't matter how smart you are, doesn't matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how capable you are, like that is the standard. If you've been made alive in Christ, truly you're prepared for ministry because he can work through you and work in your works and prepare you. So as we close today, only trust in Jesus Christ. I assure you, we cannot trust in ourselves, can't trust in me, Can't trust in the things of the world, can't trust in politics, can't trust in morality. We can only and should only and must only trust Jesus Christ, the good news that he's brought, and the salvation that's available to you for those who place their faith in him. Amen.